Good morning, and welcome to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to the program this morning, and hope everything is well with you today, and that you're thinking about getting out and worshiping God this morning, and that's what we'll be doing at the Eastside Church of Christ. The church meets at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, 9 o'clock this morning for Bible study and worship assembly, and we just love for you to come out and be with us as we honor the God of heaven who has blessed us so richly, given us so much, even sent his only begotten son to die for our sins so that we could live forever with him. Why don't you come out and be with us and worship God with us this morning at Eastside? If you can't make it, why don't you check out our live streaming. Our services are live streamed on our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens on Facebook. Live stream there, or you can go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org, and click on the media tab and the live streaming. But we'd love for you to be with us this morning at Eastside. You know, we're living in a world that is seemingly increasingly violent. We're reading and hearing and seeing on the news stories about murders, mass shootings occurring just one right after the other. The shootings of the children in Uvalde, Texas, not long ago, certainly disturbed all of us. The recent shooting down in Birmingham, Alabama, at the Episcopal Church there, was troubling, to say the least. But there have just been one of these events right after the other, and those are just the ones that are being reported in the news. The reality is that one American is shot, stabbed, beaten, or strangled to death every 30 minutes in the United States. That's a sobering statistic, the number of murders that occur in our country. And people say, well, the problem is guns. Well, obviously, guns are used to commit a lot of murders. About 77% of murders are the result of gun violence, but that leaves 23% of them that are the result of something else. Murders are not only in the news, they're presented to us in movies, in our entertainment, in television shows. We see it all the time. We can't get away from, it seems like, the violence and the depiction of a human being taking another human being's life. It's on the streets. It's next door. It's a brutal reality in the world in which we live. The truth is that in the United States of America, your chances of being murdered are far greater than your chances of dying in an airplane crash. You know, murder is a horrible crime against God and against one's fellow man. In fact, it may be one of the most consequential sins that a person can commit, because it puts a person in the place of God, taking a life and sending another human being into eternity. And oftentimes the person that's murdered is not prepared for eternity. And so the one who takes their life is sending a person directly into torment. You know, it's a horrible thought to think of, but the truth is, in the Bible, you've got an account in Luke chapter 16 that Jesus tells us about, where there was a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus, and the rich man dies, and it says he died, and he opened his eyes, and he was in Hades in torment. What a horrible thought! You're taken out of this life, and then the next thing that happens to you is you wake up and you're in torment in Hades. I don't know if we think about that sort of thing very much. When we think about a murder, we think about this life being over with. But you know, when this life is over with, that's just really the beginning of an eternal existence somewhere else, according to the Bible. And for a lot of people, because the way that leads to life is narrow and difficult, a lot of people in going into the next life are not prepared, and it will not be a pleasant experience for them. It's a horrible thing to think about somebody leaving this world and being taken out of this world unprepared. In the Old Testament, the sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments said, in the King James Version, it says, "Thou shalt not kill." It literally means, as the New King James Version translates it, "You shall not murder." So you see, while all murder is killing, not all killing is murder. Murder is more than just taking a life. It is the premeditated and intentional taking of a human life without just cause. So there are ways that a person could take another person's life and it not be murder. We understand that. And that's sort of what I want to say here at the beginning. An accidental killing is not murder. The Lord God in the Old Testament was explaining that to the Israelites. There's a difference between murdering somebody and maybe killing somebody accidentally. And God made allowance for that in his law to the Jews in the Old Testament. If someone had taken another life unintentionally, the Lord had set up these things called cities of refuge where a person could flee and find some protection until his trial came up, so to speak. And God arranged all that. But in the midst of arranging all that, he made clear that there were some things that were worthy of capital punishment, that if it was determined that a person had done these things, that was murder, and those things were worthy of capital punishment. For instance, in Numbers chapter 35 and verse 16, if he strikes a man with an iron implement so that he dies, he's a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. If he strikes him with a stone in the hand by which one could die, and he does die, he's a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. If he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon by which one could die, and he does die, he's a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. So these are some of the regulations that God gave his people in ancient times regarding the sin of taking a life and what constituted murder and what didn't constitute murder. He goes on and talks about some things that could be accidental. But the general rule was that if you murdered someone, you would surely be put to death, as we saw in those verses and also as passages like Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 17 say. When you turn over to the New Testament of Jesus Christ, under which Christians live today, you can see the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 13 talking about the role of government in our lives. And one of the things that government is ordained by God to do is to protect good people from bad people. So the officer of the law, Romans chapter 13 and verse 4 says, does not bear the sword in vain. He's God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So God has ordained government to punish evildoers. And it says, the text says, the government official does not bear the sword in vain, which is to say, you know, a sword's an implement of death, right? An instrument of death. So that is to say that the government has the right to execute capital punishment on those who are worthy of it. That wouldn't be considered murder either. So you have these and other situations that we could think about, even from Scripture, where one person might take another person's life, but the Lord wouldn't consider that to be murder. God doesn't consider that to be murder, and it's not murder even in our legal code today. These people are not murderers. But there are a lot of murderers in this world, as we've already said, and a lot of murders occur in our land. Why is that the case? What's wrong with it? Obviously, something's wrong with it. We all know that. What's wrong with it? Why is it happening? And what can be done to correct it? Those are things we want to know. And God's word gives us some pretty straight answers regarding those things. Let's understand that murder intrudes on God's territory. God is the giver of life. And when a human being takes the life of another human being by murdering them, he's intruding into God's territory. God controls man's entrance into life. When man first appeared on this planet, it was at the command of Almighty God. He created man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So God has given humankind life. And then David, as he thought about his own life in Psalm 139 and verse 14, is praising God. And he says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. David understands that God gave him his earthly existence, made him as he is, and gave him days to live, appointed days for him to live in this world. So God is the giver of life. He has given each one of us life, and we need to respect that. God, it is, he is the one who should be allowed to be in control of life. And when man takes that into his own hands, again, he's treading on ground that belongs to God. God is the one who establishes the boundaries across which no man can cross. Job 14 and verse 5 says, since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, talking to God. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. God is the one who determines the limits of our days. Psalm 104 and verse 29, you hide your face, talking about how God might turn away from men and we're troubled. And then he says, you take their breath away. God is the one who takes breath, gives us breath and takes breath away. And then mankind dies and returns to the dust, the text says there in Psalm 104 and verse 29. So God is the giver of human life, and he alone must be respected as the one who ultimately will take human life. When we take it upon ourselves then to take the life of another, we've really placed ourselves in the place of God, and we've tried to assume his position and his power, and that certainly is an affront to him. Murder is basically a human being pretending to be God, thinking we can decide when it's time for somebody else's life to be over, just on our whim, or because this is how we feel a certain day, or because it's what we want to do, based on nothing that's just, but simply our own determination. We interrupt a human life. We end a human life. The very definition of murder, according to Webster's dictionary, is the unlawful and malicious or premeditated killing of one human being by another. That's what murder is. And it can be committed in various ways. We've already talked some this morning about ways that people are murdered physically, with guns and knives and other instruments. The first murder recorded, as I've already mentioned, is in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. Cain deliberately and with malice took the life of his brother Abel. The text says that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him, very simply in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 18. Of course, from that time into the present time, as we've already said, human beings have been committing this sin and this crime, the crime of murder. We were living in a house in Limestone County some years ago, and one of our neighbors was murdered one evening while we were eating supper. It happens all around us. It's an incredible thing, but it happens. And that's just one kind of murder, if you will. When you think about violently one person taking another person's life, suicide is also a form of murder if you think about it. When a person is driven to suicide, it's often the result of circumstances just getting out of hand in their lives. Maybe they're depressed, maybe they're oppressed, maybe they're lonely, maybe they failed at something that was important to them, they didn't succeed at it. But whatever the reason, whatever their situation is, suicide is self-murder, if you will. It is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. It's particularly prevalent among teenagers in our day and time, and that's just a sad, sad reality that we're facing in the world today. I think the statistics are that the leading cause of death among adolescents and teens is suicide above everything else. That's just an incredible thing. Suicide is sinful, obviously. It's not what God wants us to do. Just as no man has the right to murder another, no one has the right to murder himself. These things are God's end of the stick, so to speak. These are what God should be left in control of. They belong to his purview. Suicide is just another way of committing murder, as is abortion. Abortion's been in the news a lot lately. We've talked about it here on the program, and it's just murder of a baby in a womb. According to the Bible, life begins before we're born, well before we're born. David described it there. We just read a moment ago from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, and David talked about being formed in the womb, and he was a living being as he was formed in the womb, and he recognizes that. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." God knows us as people. Even as we're formed in the womb, he sees who we are. He creates us through the natural processes that he has ordained. We talked on the program not long ago about Mary, the mother of Jesus, going to see her kinsman Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1 and verse 41. And when she greets Elizabeth, Elizabeth is pregnant with the man who had come to be known as John the Baptist. But at this point, she's a few months along. And the text says that when Mary greeted her, the babe leaped in the womb. The word babe there is the same word that refers in the Bible, that the Bible uses to refer to a baby, a child after its birth. And it uses the same terminology to refer to the child before the child is born. And so all of these passages and many more that we could look at and have looked at previously tell us that, yes, the life that's in the womb is a human life. It's a human being. And when we take that life, it's murder, as simple as that. We're taking a human life. It's the very definition, premeditated killing of one human being by another. That's what happens when an abortion is committed. Since abortion on demand was legalized in the U.S. after Roe v. Wade, there have been well over 60 million abortions performed in this country. That's 60 million innocent lives taken by another human being. What brings about, what motivates one human being murdering another? We think about the mass shootings that have occurred. We think about the neighborhood violence that goes on in some places in our country and maybe even in our own neighborhoods. What's creating all of this? Why the increase in murders in our country just of late, especially over the last two or three years? I'm led to believe by the statistics. Well, one of the things we need to understand is that murder is something that comes up from within us. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus says, "From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man." So all those sins are sins that are generated from within us. And the problem is really an internal problem. It's a problem of the human spirit. It's a problem of our minds and of our hearts and of our souls. That's what we're talking about when we talk about what causes murder, what the real problem is. We want to blame, guns, or we want to blame mental health issues, or we want to blame the lack of security in our schools or our public places or whatever it might be. As I said earlier, some of those things obviously need to be addressed in one way or another, but that's not the real problem. That's not the real problem. The real problem, and what we have to come to terms with, is that the real problem is the human soul. And murder happens because people are not right, not what they ought to be, on the inside. Can we see that? Can we understand that? Murder is often motivated by covetousness. One person wants what another person has, so they kill them for it. Jeremiah 22 and verse 17. The accusation against the people of that day: "Your eyes and your heart are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood and practicing oppression and violence." That gets to the root of the matter when it comes to a lot of violence and murder that goes on, even in our country. People are killed over things, because somebody wants something that somebody else has. And that's just covetousness. And if we would learn early on, if we could teach our children, if we could train them not to be covetous, not to desire material things over and above, the concern for human life, doing what's right, caring about others. We need to, if we could ourselves learn that, as Jesus said, this life does not consist in the abundance of the things we possess. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. But we're living in a society where everybody is just eaten up with wanting more and more things. We are bombarded with advertisements for things. We're made to feel like we're not what we ought to be if we don't have enough things. And so all the time in our society, people need to get more and more and more, they think, when they already have more than enough. And this materialism and covetousness leads to violence and murder. That's what the Bible teaches us. If we could teach our children to begin with, and then learn ourselves that things just aren't all that important in the grand scheme, if we could train ourselves not to be covetous instead of allowing ourselves just to be overcome with it. Another thing that causes murder is anger. It's often motivated by anger, obviously. People kill one another because they're mad at one another. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21, "You've heard that it was said of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be in danger of judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment." See, here's the deal. We get mad at one another, and we want to, because of that, hurt somebody because we're mad at them. That's where the real problem comes in. It's a lack of our ability to control our anger. Murders are committed because people are covetous. Murders are committed because people are mad and angry at one another. And murders are committed because people are jealous. Folks are jealous of other people's standing. They're jealous of other people's wealth. They're jealous of some relationship that another person has. They're jealous of what they perceive to be the more privileged life that somebody has over somebody else. All of that causes jealousy. Anything, and there's lots of it in our society, that is being fomented up that's designed to create jealousy. There's class warfare that, you know, makes the poor jealous of the rich, and so on and so forth. All of this leads to people doing things to one another that God does not want us to do, including murder. Why did Cain kill Abel? Several reasons, I think, are indicated in Scripture. But one thing is said over in the New Testament, you know, thousands of years after it happened, was that Cain was of the wicked one and murdered his brother, 1 John 3 and verse 12. And the question is, why did he murder him? The text goes on to say, because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. So Cain did not do the right thing, and his brother was doing the right thing. And what does that spur in you? That creates jealousy. And it was this jealous hatred that Cain had of his brother that motivated him to murder him. Note that the text says that Cain was of the wicked one. This was the doing of Satan. This is what Satan wanted Cain to do. And there are just a lot of people in, you know, the world today, we're allowing ourselves this petty jealousy over oftentimes things that aren't real or don't amount to a hill of beans. And we're allowing ourselves to just be eaten up with jealousy of one form or another. And it leads to this kind of violence. Murder is characteristic of the devil. The devil is someone who just loves you to be eaten up with covetousness and anger and jealousy. He's encouraging those things all the time in our society. Jesus said about the devil and about the people who were following him in John 8 and verse 44. He says, "You are your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. The desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So the devil is the father of lies. And also, Jesus says, he was a murderer from the beginning. You know, lying and murdering also go together. When people get so fed up with not being able to understand the truth, when people are not told the truth about things, they'll be motivated to do things that they shouldn't do. And again, we are in a world where the truth is being killed. And so as a consequence of that, people are being killed. Satan's work is all throughout it. Please understand that God hates murder. He hates it. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17, there are a number of things that are listed that God hates. And among them are a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. God hates that. And be sure of this, that those who commit murder, who are guilty of it as they face God in judgment, are not going to enter the kingdom of God. The Bible is extremely clear about this. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul is talking about the works of the flesh, the things that people do because, you know, they're doing what Satan wants them to do. And in that list, he says the works of the flesh include envy and murders and drunkenness and revelries and the like. And Paul says, "Of which I tell you beforehand, as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." They will not. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, the Apostle John says that the cowardly and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexually immoral and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Yeah, murder is a problem in our world. It's a real problem. And what we need to do is understand how God looks at it, that he hates it. He'll not accept us if we do it and don't repent of it, don't get forgiveness from him. As we're standing in judgment, if we're guilty of murder, we'll be in a really bad place. Murder is caused by things like covetousness and anger and jealousy and hatred. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, the Apostle John writes, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." It all gets down to the fact that too many people hate others, just hate them. It's, you know, if looks could kill, would your words kill somebody? Would your looks at them slay them? How many people would you have murdered? Murder is something that comes out of the heart, comes out of hatred. The reason there's murder out there is because there's murder in the heart. If there's been a murderous spirit in your heart, a hateful spirit in your heart, it needs to be repented of right now. Here's the answer to the problem. Here's the solution to all of it. We need to repent of our hatred. We need to put it away and love our brother like God loved us. That's the simple solution to it. Let us love our neighbor as ourselves as we strive to walk the way that leads to life.